Praise the Lord.
Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, my brother.
Praise the Lord, God's people. What a wholesome privilege to be able to gather again tonight to feed at this table. We thank God for Cash Radio Station. We appreciate God for Dr. Hunters. And I pray that the blessings of God will continually remain on this station, and God will use this message of tonight to reach
amen.
Out and touch lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I'm so excited to be here to continue our teachings on kingdom engagement. We've been talking about the kingdom of God, and I know that is the priority for every believer to participate in kingdom-related activities, to be fully engaged in kingdom activity, and more importantly, the message of the kingdom is the message that we continually hear and continually aspire to be a part of as we continue to strive to be part of this walk and the part of the kingdom. God of heaven, we continue to bless and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. So a quick backup on the things that we've been learning over the period of about 4 to 5 weeks. We've been looking at the kingdom engagement. A couple of weeks back, we looked at kingdom engagement principles. We looked at the things that are necessary, the things that make us a part of the kingdom. We know that the principles that we talked about, that God is in charge of the kingdom. We also look at that no man can come to Jesus except God draws him. One of the other items that we address is you cannot serve God, you cannot serve two masters, you cannot serve God and mammon. Either you love one or reject the other, but you can't be in between. Like the book of Revelation told us that we cannot be lukewarm. We have to take our stand and where we belong. Number four principle was doing the will of the master. We also talked about we have to understand that God is our ultimate source. And more importantly, part of the kingdom principle is that we must be able to pass this kingdom culture to our generation. We must be able to pass it down. Like God said about Abraham, he said, I trust Abraham that he will teach his children. So God is depending on you and I to be able to pass down the kingdom culture, and that's the principle that governs the kingdom. We also look at the kingdom lifestyle. We look at every kingdom, every nation has a culture. What is the culture of the kingdom? Number one, we said, is holiness. The second thing we discussed was the love for God. We must love God with all of our hearts. We also talked about the love for our neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. The other part of the lifestyle is we live a lifestyle of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We talked about living in forgiveness. That's the lifestyle of a believer. The disciple came to Jesus, how many times will my brother offend me that I don't have to forgive him? Jesus said 70 by 7. That's about 490 times in a day, which invariably it means that it's calling us to a life of forgiveness, because it's almost impossible for one person to offend you or offend me 490 times in 24 hours. It's an Herculean task. We looked at part of the lifestyle is a lifestyle of patience. We must be patiently be able to wait on him. We must trust him enough to know that he is going to come through for us And so we need to patiently await him, because he is a faithful God. Once he says the things, Bible says, is not the Son of Man that he will repent? Has he said something? Will he not do it? God is a faithful God. And as we continue to patiently wait on him, I believe that the kingdom shall be well established in our hearts, in our homes, in our church, in our businesses, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, the notion that people always say, work is work, don't bring church to work, or when I'm a Christian at home, but I'm not a Christian in my job. No, we must be the same persons. We must be able to live the same life. Don't say, oh, this is work. Work politics is different from what the Bible teaches. No, we are taught to be a light. And I'm trusting God that as a result of these teachings, our lives will become better in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So today, we want to continue in our studies about the kingdom. And I want to discuss with us today kingdom empowerment. Kingdom empowerment. Let us pray. Eternal Rock, we thank you for this opportunity to speak your word. The Bible said the entrance of your word, it giveth light and understanding to the simple. Let your word come with great accuracy tonight, and let it impact our life positively in the mighty name of Jesus. And the people say, amen. We're talking about kingdom empowerment. Now, what makes a kingdom, it's its ability to stand on its own. You can only stand on its own because of the power it possesses. There is no kingdom that can be established without power. Every kingdom that we've seen, every era, every time you talk about world powers, you talk about the whole USSR, you talk about Germany, you talk about Great Britain, and now we have the United States. Now, what makes a kingdom, is the power it possesses. If you don't have any power, you cannot stand by yourself. No nation is able to call itself a nation without having a territory, without establishing certain facts about it. We, the people, this is what we believe, this is what we stand for. So as we see in the activities of men, the kingdom of God is established because of the power it possesses. And everyone that is a part of the kingdom is endowed with the same grace. So kingdom empowerment is something that is peculiar to the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, what separates, what distinguishes the followers of Christ from every other followers or every other belief is the power that is there in the Christian walk with God. Book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. I read to you from verse 19 and 20 to 21. It said, but I will come to you shortly. That's Paul speaking. If the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So the God's kingdom is established in the power that is within it. It's the power that is in the word that makes the difference. We need to be empowered to live the life God is expecting of us. By the arms of flesh shall no man prevail. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 from verse 1 to 5. Paul speaking, he said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing word of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. What makes the difference? What changes the life of men? What turns evil men into godly men is not the excellency of the word that we speak. It's not how articulate I am or how smart I am with the usage of word. But what changes us is the power, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. And that stands for the kingdom of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:2-6.
Mm-hmm.
1 Thessalonians 1:2-6. Glory be to God. Let's quickly read that. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians 1:2-6. It says, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulation that you endure, which a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God which ye suffer for. So it's talking about people are able to endure hardship, are able to stand and for what they believe because they are empowered to do so. Kingdom empowerment is not about building physical muscles. It's usually not about physical strength. It is God's ability at work within us. So when we talk about kingdom empowerment, it's not talking about strength, the physical strength. Because little wonder you still find people that have ailments and sicknesses in their bodies, but their faith in God still stands strong. It's not the earthly strength, because what we wrestle against is not the physical things, but they are against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in the high places. So we need to be empowered, not physical strength, but the spiritual strength through the Holy Spirit. So it's not, when we talk about kingdom empowerment, I'm not talking about physical strength. I'm talking about God's ability at work within us. Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of pleasure. So it's God. He's talking about God's ability. When we begin to demonstrate godliness, when we begin to exhibit patience, when we begin to show love and kindness, when we become long-suffering and can tolerate things, it's not our own physical ability, but it's God that is at work within us. Talk about kingdom empowerment. We're talking about God enabling you and I to be able to do the things that God requires of us. Number two, when we talk about kingdom empowerment, it's not about first one is God's ability to work in us. Number two, it's the ability to influence the world around us. You don't have any power to influence the world of your own will, but God gives us that power in us to be an example, like it spoke that and 13, that we are light of the world. We are the salt of the heart. God is empowering you and I to have the ability to influence the world around us. Now, people are struggling. If the people around me cannot be influenced actively by me, it's because I have not depended on God. I have not trusted Him to empower me to be able to influence them. You cannot influence them by just talking. That's why the Paul said, my word that came to you, it didn't come in man's wisdom, but it came in power. I pray this night that God is going to empower you and I beyond the words of mouth, so that our life will begin to influence people positively in the mighty name of Jesus. That is what we talk about when we talk about kingdom empowerment, is the ability to influence the world around you. When people are confused and afraid and they see you calm, exhibiting the nature of your Father. When Jesus was with the disciples and there was storm, they were so scared, and they even went to wake Jesus up and say, do you care if we perish? Because Jesus was at peace and he was able to be a source to influence the world around them. You and I need to exude a lot of peace in the midst of chaos. We need to speak the right word in season. When other people in around you begin to curse and use all kind of foul languages, we should be living by example. And that, as they are living by example, allows you and I to influence the world around us. It's true. A lot of people do not read the Bible. A recent research that was conducted found that a lot of Christians, about 85% of even Christians, don't read the Bible on a daily basis. So how much more the people that are non-Christian? You and I, we are the Bible that the world is reading. So the influences, the way we live should be able to influence people right. The way we talk, the way we talk to your spouse, the way you address your children, the way you respond to situation, people should see you and be like Christ. When they were talking in Berean, the Bible looked at, they were looking at the disciples, and their lifestyles was typical like the life of Christ, and they called them Christians, small, little Christ, because their life is demonstrating God, is giving glory to God. And how did they do that? They were able to do that because they were empowered. May you be empowered tonight in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, how do we talk about the empowerment? Number three, we know that Jesus said in Luke 10 and verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpent and scorpion, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You are empowered. I am empowered to over the enemy. God has given us this grace to be empowered over every wickedness. But what do we see today in the life of believers? We run, we hide, we are intimidated because we don't know who we are in Christ Jesus. But by His Spirit this night, I pray that every one of us, we understand our rights and begin to live the life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Jesus demonstrated God's power on earth, and he said, those of us that believe in him, we will do the same and more. And this is the heritage of us that believe in him. Ephesians 3:14-21 is talking about the empowerment that we receive and that which we will receive by being an effective witness. For us to stand and be empowered and live the life. Like I said, the kingdom of God is not in word, is in power. Every one of us must begin to live that life, and God will strengthen everyone in Jesus' name. We could be empowered in different fashion and form. But you see, like Joseph was empowered to interpret the dream of Pharaoh. David was empowered to kill Goliath. Everything, even Saul, a shy, lanky man, when he was empowered, God used him to rescue the Israelites. I pray this night that every one of us will be empowered in Jesus' name. Now, how do we get empowered? How do we get empowered? Acts in chapter 1 and verse 8, when Jesus spoke to the disciples, said, wait here in Jerusalem, ensure that you are empowered. How do we get empowered? He said, when the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you will be empowered. We get empowered by the presence and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit. When the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit, they were empowered, and everything about them changed. They have authority, they have dominion, and great wonders were wrought among them. They were able to stand. Maybe some of us are ashamed to stand for Jesus. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus because we are not empowered. Say, it is the power of God unto salvation. If you become empowered this night, you will no longer be shy. You will no longer be hiding, but you'll be able to stand and represent the kingdom. And that is the goal of tonight's message, that trust the Lord to empower you. He is the source of every kind of empowerment. Seek his face. Ask him to empower you to live the life, for you to be a part of the kingdom, for you and I to represent the kingdom effectively. We have to be empowered. If we are empowered, we will no longer struggle with sin. We will no longer struggle with following the words of Christ. What you need, what I need, is to be empowered. And this night, by the power of God, we shall all be empowered in Jesus' name. Now, for you to be empowered, you have to follow the practices of the one Jesus that's the source of all empowerment. How did he live? Jesus lived the life, number one, he prays all the time. Jesus wakes up in the morning, he prays. In the night, he prays all through the night. Jesus prays for every of his decisions. In fact, when he was to select the disciples, the Bible told us that he prayed all through the night, and he came out and selected his disciples. If Jesus will pray all through the night to make a decision, why would you and I make decisions without seeking his face? Even Jesus, the power of God, God man, he prayed all through the night. He selected 12. One still betrayed him. How on earth will you or I make decisions without seeking his face? When we spend time in the place of prayer, we get empowered. And I trust the Lord that God will give every one of us grace in the mighty name of Jesus. The second thing, he fasted. Jesus, when the disciples could not cast out the demon, they came to Jesus and said in book of Mark chapter 9, why couldn't we do that? That is the right thing for every believer to do. Every time you fail, you need to ask the question, why do I keep falling back into this sin? And Jesus said, things like this will not go except by prayer and fasting. We cannot there is no amount of sophistication that we have in the world that will take away fasting. Fasting and prayer are part of and parcel of Christianity. They are the things that enable us and gives us the ability to stand. So if you want to be empowered, you must pray. You want to be empowered, you must fast. Number three, that Jesus does, he does the will of his Father. He said, I don't do anything of my own will except what my Father has asked me to do. If you want to be empowered by God, you have to be obedient and follow him. I pray that the Lord will give you an eye grace in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, before we round up tonight, I think it's a good thing that we give us an opportunity. If you've been struggling in your walk with God, this night is a good night to ask to be empowered. It's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. As the spirit of God comes upon you, like the way it came upon the apostle, it changed them. They were able to please him. The Bible said that when the spirit came upon, Jesus said, when the spirit comes, he will remind you of all things. You need to be reminded of the word and the promises of God. That way you know and your mind is at rest. I'd like you to talk to the Lord this night, and I want to also use this medium to invite as many of us that wants to commit our life to Jesus. You want to be a part of this kingdom. You cannot be empowered until you become a part of the kingdom. And the way to be a part of the kingdom is to surrender yourself, surrender your life to Jesus. This day is a good day. This is a good opportunity. I'd like you to pray with me if you want to surrender your heart to Jesus so that you can be empowered to live a life that is pleasing. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you this night. I am a sinner. I ask for forgiveness. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Make me whole. Thank you for forgiving me. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. I'd like to pray for everyone under the sound of this voice. Lord, we pray this night. Part of what we have learned tonight is when we are part of the kingdom, we need to be empowered. Lord, empower your people. Let the grace come upon them. Back up your word, Lord, with evidences. And let our testimonies abound. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. I thank the Lord. I will give him praise for this night. I continue to encourage you to join us every Wednesday, 8 to 8:30 p.m., we'll be sharing and discussing the mind of God. The Bible says he sent forth his word, and his word healeth, and it delivers from destruction. God will continually send us the word on this radio station, and souls shall be liberated and shall be saved as a result of the word and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, Apostle. I want to encourage everybody. You can go back on Facebook and find KSK Media Radio Station, and you can re-hear it all together. I want to let y'all know that I love you. I thank God for you. And so what we do is we just invite him. He's a great man of God. I know God has called him to do what he's doing. He has my support. All I can do to help him in Jesus' name. So he keep me in prayer. God bless you. Until next time, peace be with you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hello, caller. Hello, caller. How you doing? God is so good. Oh, my God. His mercy.
Hey, Dr. Hunter.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, man, that was a good word.
Amen. That guy is all the way from Africa.
That was a good word.
Amen.
That was a good word. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I figured that was you on that when I saw your number. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank God for you, D-Man, what you're
thank
doing.
Thank God for you, too.
Yeah, what he's having you to do. A great word. A great word.
Thank God for you too, Dr. Hum. Thank God for you and the movement that you believe in. You believe in the movement.
I do.
Yeah, you believe it.
If you don't want to move
it, some people do it, but you believe it.
I believe it.
Can do it. A person can do something and don't believe it. They're just doing it.
Yeah. I like when you said it.
Yeah. But you believe in what you say and you believe in what you do. And that's what makes the difference, Dr. Hunter, your love for the word of God and for people.
I know this much that lady, Sister B-O-B-I-E, is a woman of God. That elder woman is a woman of God. When I heard her voice, it just got me all, I said, my Lord, what a woman. What a woman. She don't have much to say when she said, she cuts hard. That's good. I love that. How's your wife doing?
She good, Dr. Hunter.
Amen.
She's in church right now. She should be getting out soon.
Amen. 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 I want you to stay on the radio and listen to another program for come on a few minutes. And that's another people for come on. I want you to see what they're saying. Amen.
Amen.
If they show, see these young guys. I got two people for come on talk about what we can do to get them caught and what's going on. See, a lot of people
breaking up, Dr. Hunter.
I said a lot of people want to get involved, but they don't want to pay the price. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but it's like you're going in and out.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that there are a lot of people who want to be involved, but they don't want to pay the price. You have to pay
exactly.
The price. And that's what someone don't want to do. I know, but we're just going to keep the faith. And thank God for is mother your sister? Amen. Praise the living God. I'm all blessed and from nobody but him. He's a good God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We'll soon see him. Let's see what he's going to do. What's happening with him? My God, my God. It's tedious. It's very tedious. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hello, Johnny.
Mr. Johnson, there.
It's so good to hear your voice. He should be on a few minutes. Let me see if I can reach him.
Okay.
All the way to my new boy, very son. My beloved son.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Dad, I'm here. This is my first time on the radio, and I'm just, it's a little disturbance in your voice, but go ahead. I think I can hear you.
Okay. Well, I know I got us on the mic on the radio, and I will get close to where y'all can hear my voice. When y'all get y'all started, I get the background. Let me see if I can reach you right now. God has been so good to me today, and I'm supposed to be complaining.
Yeah, I'm sorry, just having a hard time. Every time you're saying it's like a serious echo there.
I know it. Because when I put it on music, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Let me get this. Like I'm raising first. Oh, boy.
Okay, I'm here.
Yeah, I know it. I see your number nowhere. I'm trying
okay.
to find it. I put his name down. Let's see if I can. Hey, I got you ready to come on there. Hey, Chuck?
Yeah, Dad, I'm here.
Okay. Well, he just called me. He's at the airport, and he's got some problems. So what I wanted to say right quick while we're on the line nationally is that we know we got some issues. The ability to take care of people that don't have insurance. What are your thoughts about that?
What are my thoughts about the fact that we have a lot of people that are not on insurance and
yeah.
we actually need to, well, we've got more people on insurance now than we've ever had before.
I'm listening.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we have more people that are on insurance before, but of course, that right now is at stake where you can possibly have about maybe 30, maybe 25 million Americans that might not have insurance if the current insurance law that is in place right now is repealed. So what do I think about it? I don't think that the old insurance format that was used is the old insurance way we've done insurance the way in the past is not going to work in the future.
Now explain that. What do you mean? Explain that.
Well, because it's the benefit package that you need with the insurance. Without the pre-existing condition, you don't have insurance because basically the insurance company can deny you, basically saying that you are were born with a pre-existing condition. I'll give you an example that I had a surgery, if you recall, about three or four, right when the Affordable Care Act came out a month afterwards, which was about roughly 9 years ago. And they would not pay for my surgery because I had a hernia. And everybody is born with a hernia. Now, that hernia can inflame, but that is considered a pre-existing condition. Under the old law, they were not going to take care of it, but under the new law, it did take care of it. So when I think about that fact is, you asked the question about what do we think about not having insurance. We have so many people who are not insured. We need to actually reach out and get more people insured than we've ever had before. Now, I've got some new numbers for you here. If you want to elaborate, you want me to elaborate that on that. Now, we've got 330 million Americans in this country, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the last numbers, when you start talking about Medicare and you start talking about Medicaid, 55 million Americans are covered by Medicare. 71 million are covered by Medicaid, and 55 million are by Medicare. Those are forms of insurance. Now, that's almost a third of the country itself. We need to make for sure at the end of the day that these 331 million, we want to make sure that we've got at least, realistically, 85% of Americans to be covered by some form of insurance, whether it's Medicaid, Medicare.
Oh,
that's all right. Dad is on the phone.
Papa.
Okay, Dad is on the phone. Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, he's sorry about that. So, what I think we need to, we've got to find a way to ensure more people, but the biggest thing to do that is we've got to get to the voting booth, and we've got to elect individuals that are talking about trying to get more people coverage.
Well, how we do that, sir? How does that make How we do that?
How do we do that? Well, we've got to get more people are going to have to get involved in the political arena. They're going to have to get in, and those individuals that are going to get in are going to are trying to get more people in. We got to get to a point of universal insurance. We need to get more people involved in that. We've got to get more people off the sidelines. We can't have people sitting around waiting on someone to do the things for us. We've got to hold on. We've been given the ability ourselves to do. No, Bryson, I can't turn it off. I'm sorry. Oh, hello.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. Bryson.
Tammy, come get Bryson some pretzels. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Well, one of the things that has been bothering me is, as I've been listening to it, we keep hearing the president says it's going to be a good, it's going to be a good thing. We're going to have a great insurance. I don't understand what he's saying when the Republicans got the ball and not doing anything with it. They're trying to put more. It appears to me that they're trying to get more insurance money to their brokers, insurance companies. Am I right or wrong?
Well, the insurance companies have been squeezed out of the marketplace. They've been basically convinced to get out. They would like things to go back to, even though they've got more customers. Because I could barely hear your question, but I think I heard pieces of it. But I will say that the insurance companies, it's only four major ones. I can tell you of three, Aetna, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and Humana. A lot of those have been pushed out of the marketplace. I don't know actually who convinced them, or I'm not going to say the Republican Party has actually done that, but a lot of the insurance companies have gotten more people. They've got more people paying for coverage than ever before, but they'd like to, in my opinion, go back to the way it was because they won't have to pay out as much money as they're paying out for people, and they won't have to see as many patients as they're seeing now, because now with this new insurance, with the benefits with it, you've got more people coming in. They're finding out there's more people sick than ever before. So that's just my opinion. It's a monopoly trying to go back to the way it was because they collected money, but they didn't have to do as much work.
Well, let me ask you this. What about this tax? They're trying to get the billionaires. They're trying to get $7.70 billion to the people who are billionaires. A tax cut. What do you think about that?
I'm sorry. I really couldn't hear you.
Okay, I said they have about $7.70 billion. They want to give to the billionaire $770 billion as an insurance break, you know, for taxes.
Well, the proposed you're talking about this proposed you're talking about when they start talking doing this new tax deal that's gonna away people that's getting benefits on Meals on Wheels. They're going to be cutting Medicare, Medicaid. Remember, I just gave you numbers of how many people that are on Medicare and Medicaid, and they're talking about cutting them. When you start doing things like that, I mean, it's just not going to be a popular thing when you start talking about taking away people's health benefits, as well as it's a lot of seniors and it's a lot of people that don't make a lot of money, a lot of people that don't have the best education, and they don't have, they're not that well organized, as well as they, you know, don't really have money to kind of lawyer up. So those programs benefit them more than they benefit the people that have money, that have, you know, a form of education, that have a career, not a job, a career, you know, where they have got good benefit packages through their jobs and everything like that. So you start talking about snatching those things away, I believe that it's going to be unpopular.
Well, now, you got the Republicans saying they need 52 votes to pass the bill. And we got 7 Republicans saying they're not for it. So why do we stand right now in America?
Well, where we stand in America is that we're more divided than ever before. And the Democrats, independents, people that don't vote, people that sit back and complain about how the system is, you've got to get more and more of those individuals involved in doing their civic duty and trying to get involved in the voting process. You know, you got those 7 senators, you're saying, then it's 9 to my count, that will not vote for this bill in this current fashion because their constituents know that if they get their insurance taken away from them, their jobs are going to be on the line. They possibly won't be reelected. Okay, so you're saying where we at, when the individuals that are for these bills, which was under the previous administration under Barack, we can't drop the ball anymore. We've got to make for sure to get out and vote even more, and then we can stop complaining about the Electoral College. We can stop complaining about supposedly what the Republican Party is doing, because if we're in power, we can change things to work and benefit for ourselves. We can make for sure that we don't have money taken out of our wallets, that we can make for sure that our children are get the best education. We have money set up for them to go to, whether it's college or whether it's a vocational school. We have to make for sure that we put our kids in that position. If we sit back and don't do anything and sitting back and complaining and pointing the fingers, well, the Republicans are doing this, well, they doing this, and it's a corrupt system, is that it means nothing if we don't sit back and actually get off our rear ends and do something. And so, you know, I can elaborate on that all day long, but where we at with that, what they're doing, is this going to be difficult for them to pass that, to reform and, I mean, to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act? Is going to be very difficult for them because it's so many people have insurance now than before. So where we stand right now is we're probably looking at, if they don't, in my opinion, if they don't do it in 6 months, they not going to get it done before the midterm elections in November 2018.
I don't think they're going to get it done. That's my thought. That's my prayer. Because, see, one thing that bothers me as a man of God, as a black man, is that there are a lot of people that put down this man. Did he make mistakes? Yes, he did. Can we ever get back up? Yes, they can. But everything that this administration has done put him down. He should have done this. He should have done that. He did everything that the Republicans were going to do. And all this good, he did it with it. So one thing, another question I want to listen to out there is why haven't they got out there and why haven't a lot of folks ever known a vote? I don't think I'm in there long.
I barely could hear any. I didn't really hear any of that. I'm sorry. The phone is not making out what you all are saying.
Okay, that's what I do here.